Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Chapter 2, verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from our Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus.
Good morning. Wow, that's amazing. And I don't know. I mean, I'm very unobservant. Whenever I visit any homes, I'll visit someone. If I'm with Leslie or whatever, and she'll say, "Did you like the curtains?" And I'll say, "What curtains?" It's just because I'm like, I couldn't tell you if you had carpet or flooring in your house when I see you when I leave within 10 minutes. I'm sorry, I just don't do that. But I can't miss that at the back of the church. If you turn round, if you miss that, shame on you. So there's a test of some of the guys here. You might have noticed there's some sound. We're developing it every time. I just want to thank Tom, and I'm going to miss everyone out, Derek and Barry and other people. So many other people, Mitch, and loads of people. They put that up. It's a single frame with material on it, and it's finished to Jaguar standards, I think, Tom, that is, isn't it? You know, it got to be ex-designer and things. So, I mean, but absolutely brilliant. And I think that really does deserve a round of applause. I'm sorry. I think that's amazing. I'm sorry. I know it's for God's glory, and Tom will be very cross with me and the team, but they've been in here every day, for weeks. But this week that went up, and already I think, and there's other things, so we haven't finished yet. Probably these things will end up being up there, and there's also, so thank you for your patience, and if you're a visitor, welcome. We are walking through 2 Timothy. Before I look at those verses, I just want to update really. Frank's in great spirits, saw him on Friday, despite his foot surgery, extensive foot surgery. He's in rugby, he's going to be there certainly another couple of weeks. So we do need lifts to help Mercy get there to and from, because it's a bit more awkward logistically. She won't ask you. But we would like to ask on the behalf of the family. And Frank asked me to as well. And so Ruth, do you want to make yourself known, Ruth? If you can help at all, the business is 2 till 4 on an afternoon in the week. So if you can help at all, it's not far, just past Dunchurch, really, a Rugby St. Cross Hospital. So it's not too bad. That would be great. And so the celebration. Many of you know Anne Watkin, new Anne, who went to be with the Lord last week. The celebration of her life will be at the Elim Church a week tomorrow, the 26th. And so that's going to be held at 1:30. Get there in good time. It will be good to do that. And we're going to celebrate the life of Anne at the Elim Church. Ian's been amazing, and the family, so we'll pray for them. And so thank you. Manoa is like a caged tiger because she's not allowed out. So she just loves doing things. And so please, she's allowed visitors. She's just at her home there. So if you can visit Manoa. So many people just want a word of encouragement or a call. And that might be you. So we're really praying into these things. Would you pray with me? And then we'll look at this text. And then we'll see what the Lord has to say to all of us. Lord, we thank you so much for the freedom we have. The freedom, Lord, to even discuss the signage on the church, that we can be proud and say we are a gathering of your people centered around the cross. So many people cannot have a public facility because it's illegal. They have to meet in secret. our brothers and sisters in Christ, who we will serve you eternally with. Know what it really means. Know what the cost of following Jesus really means. It is not my offering plate alone. And so, Lord, might it be, Holy Spirit, you come and you remind me today to get serious, to cast aside those things that really, at best, can distract us. Many things are important, and we thank you that you care about those things. But as we seek first the kingdom of God, you put your mind onto our things too. You're so gracious. But would you remind us of the benefits we have in Christ already? We are children of the living God. Would you remind us of our forgiveness that has been bought, purchased at the cross in the very blood of Christ? Would you remind us that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, it cannot be erased? Would you remind us, Lord, that our eternal security is secure? Would you remind us that you go before us, that you are with us even to the end of the age? Would you remind us the Holy Spirit lives in us to teach us all things? And that he goes before and behind us. Would you remind us of the privilege we have of publicly declaring Christ crucified? Would you remind us of the privilege we have of communicating openly in prayer, of openly reading our scriptures, your word, the Bible? Lord, I pray, we won't despise these privileges, but we will put our best foot forward as your people, proud to own your name. Likewise, Lord, might you be, as you look upon us, be able to say, there is my church. What a faithful church. I know of your faithfulness. So, Lord, we pray for those who would love to be here. Think of Frank in Rugby St. Cross. Think of Manoa and many others. Thank you that Bert's here today. We thank you for his years and years of faithful service amongst us and amongst our youth. Bless him. For Derek Simpson too at the back, Lord, thank you so much. For his desire, it's hard work for these people to make it here. But they come because they love you and love being amongst your people. May, Lord, we have that passion too. We pray for all of those who are struggling. We pray for perspective and peace for the Watkin household of faith. For Ian, for the whole family at this time, for Paul and Kat, and David and Carol and the wider family. That as we lead to the celebration in a few days or so, that indeed your name will be lifted high, it will honour you. For others who are serving, who've served amongst us, who've in different pastures now, we think of Mick and Dawn Holmes, we thank you for their service here and pray as you anoint their work in Tile Hill. Lord, might they know your presence, we thank you for them. And we ask, Lord, wherever your gospel in this city and beyond is faithfully declared, that you'll be pleased to bear fruit, to give us encouragement, Lord, in a world that is against you. So we worship you this morning. Might it be, even from something of a very, what might appear a very plain text, that you would, Holy Spirit, in only the way you can, you would speak to our hearts. You'd encourage us. We'd leave here more willing to serve you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose I hope some of you found some encouraging names in that text. I don't know if you're thinking of naming a child soon or a baby, but some good ones I thought in there. Phygelus, Hermogenes, and Onesiphorus. You don't hear them much these days. I mean, it's just, you know, maybe we need to sort of revisit some of these old, you know, these names. We need to, maybe not. Okay. Watch out for next dedication. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah, we dedicate, you know. Sorry, it's me having a bit of a thing. I shouldn't do this, shouldn't I? Is it okay for me to get worried? I get worried about what we think we've kind of got into as believers in Christ. I don't want to use the language of the world, as it were, but you get what I mean. You know my heart. If you're a regular here, is what did we think we signed up for? When we maybe first, I don't know when it was, or did we? Do you know there's this been these long, and it, thank goodness it's going to fizzle out in a few months, these PPI insurance things. You've only got so many months left. I'm so grateful there's only so many months we're going to hear those ads. But what they're saying is people signed up for stuff they didn't really get, and they were done. And so you're allowed to sort of text this to whoever and wherever, there's hundreds of them. And it worries me that maybe we didn't quite understand the, and it's not even small print. What really, with the PPI I get it because there's small print that we can miss. But with the scriptures, when it comes to following Jesus, the cost of following Jesus and the seriousness of following Jesus is big print. It's all through the scriptures. You can't miss it. But we miss it. And I just wonder whether or not it's because, for all sorts of reasons, I don't know. Maybe it must have been what we were told. That's the only thing I can think of, that we were told, come to Christ and get your ticket to heaven, and that's all you need. Or maybe we thought, a bit like we were, you know, when we're children, we might appear on our parents' passport, or we might appear on our parents' kind of insurance policy. Well, I'm just included because I've been in church all my life. I'm covered by the folks. No, you're not. And what is the cost of that? And I've called today loyalty and disloyalty. I used to like Blue Peter. Did anyone else like Blue Peter? Good. It was good. Yeah, you see, I can see all the intelligent guys put the hand up. It was great. And what they used to do, they'd say, here's one. You all saw it. Here's one we prepared earlier. And they did that because I'm a visual sort of guy, so they might talk about doing things. As building something, and they'd wheel something on, and they'd say, here's one we prepared earlier. And it's good to have an example. And Paul now is going to speak to Timothy. It's his last letter. Paul, if you didn't know, is on death row. It's at a time when he's never going to get out. He's going to be executed. Not so long after this, he was beheaded just outside the city. That's what tradition says. As a Roman citizen, Nero is the emperor on the throne. He hates Christians. He uses them to light up his garden parties, literally. It's not a great time to stand up and say, yay, I'm a Christian. It's not an easy time. And it's at times when things get tough. Thankfully, we don't have a Nero in this country yet. But it's at times often when somehow things get tough and everything is stripped away. We sang that song. What really matters then? What will be boiled down in our life when everything that kind of props us up in our faith on a daily basis? How will we stand? What will that look like? And this is the very temperature that Paul is writing to Timothy. And imagine being Timothy. You're shy. You're not a natural leader. This is overwhelmingly overwhelming. It's difficult. It's the last thing you want to do. All the time you've got a Paul in your life, you can kind of follow him around, and he's done that well. And he's done his own stuff. But there was always Paul. Maybe there's someone in your life, I'm good most of the time, but there's always was always them. And then they're lost. And now what happens? What should I do? And so Paul's been speaking to Timothy about what it really means to be a people. And we've captured it in three words, and hopefully you'll get bored of it, which means it's going in over the next X amount of time. We want to be a people through 2 Timothy who receive, practice, and I've forgotten the last word. Share. No, I hadn't really, but thank you. Share. Receive, practice, and share. So everything I receive in has to change how I then do things, how I practice. And then it doesn't die with me. The practice doesn't die out with me. It then moves on as I encourage other people in the faith. How do I do that? So all the way through our series, we're doing that. And so what Paul does now, he's been challenging Timothy. And he almost says, you need to be loyal, Timothy. You need to show allegiance to your king. It's not just about your legacy of receiving. You need to fan into flame and practice. We saw that last time. And guard the gospel. What matters is what you receive in the solidity and the faithfulness of God's message. But he says, you need to pass that on. And as it becomes harder to do this, It's going to need great loyalty alongside your salvation. You're going to need loyalty, allegiance to your new boss, your new king. Saying thank you, Jesus, for the cross means thank you, Jesus, you're my boss. And that's a very different proposition. I've said it so many times. We love the lifeguard pulling us out of the sea. We don't want the lifeguard to come and live with us. That sounds weird. But Jesus, our Savior and our new boss, once indeed says, we will come and live with you, in you. And so what Paul does now to Timothy in these few verses, 15 to 18, the last few verses, four verses of chapter 1, he says, here's one we prepared earlier, Timothy. This is what loyalty and disloyalty looks like. In case you were wondering, well, is that me? Paul says to Timothy, this is what it looks like. Because up to now, Paul has been exhorting Timothy to think about your legacy. You've had such an amazing legacy all these years, Timothy. Could that be you and I? How many years have we been sat here? All these years. Think of all the teaching. Think of all the Bible readings you've had. All the encouragements. In a couple of weeks' time, we have our commissioning service where the previous pastors plus the son of the founding pastor will be here. All those legacy, all that years of teaching of faithfulness to the gospel of the cross, the gospel of Christ. And Paul was keen to move Timothy on to say then, because of that, for this reason, because you've received so much, Timothy, it's got to change what you do. So fan into flame the gift that God has definitely given you. In fact, to the Corinthians, all of us have one. It's not just Timothy. And then he says, look, Timothy, you need to keep this as well. The teaching that you're no longer going to hear from me. This is my last letter to you. You need to keep this as the sound pattern. Like a blueprint. This is how it works. You can't go to the left or right of blueprints, else it's no longer. You know, if you put planning permission in for a facility like this and say, well, do you know what? We've got a new idea. Let's just do that instead. It doesn't get planning permission. You don't get the tick off because the planners want to know that it's in keeping with the original design. And that's what Paul has said to Timothy up to now. You must ensure that what you're passing on, if you get junk in, you get junk out. If it's focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified and following your new boss, make sure you dedicate yourselves to what I've taught you, the apostles' teaching. And that would have been tough. Imagine Timothy reading that letter. He'd have read it all in one. I suggest that we read it and listen to the four chapters all in one. You don't get a letter through the post on Monday and say, right, dear Keith, do you know that's wonderful, isn't it, that they call me dear? I wonder, next week I'm going to read the next line of my letter. And I think it's good for us to do this in breakdown of teaching. But listen and read 2 Timothy all in one. You get a flow that is different to, well, where does that bit fit in? Especially if I'm not here all the time. It might just be helpful. And Timothy would have read those opening verses and thought, oh my goodness, oh yes. Maybe he smiled at the thought of Lois's gran and Eunice's mum. And yeah, they were amazing. And Paul's ministry in Acts 14 when he first came to my hometown in Lystra. I remember Paul, he was so good. And then he came back in Acts 16 on his second mission journey. And I said, can I go? And he chose me to go on his second missionary journey. And he's smiling and thinking of his legacy. And he says, now, Timothy, you get on with it. Oh, yeah. Can't believe Paul's not going to be here. I remember your tears. Yeah, I do. I'm still crying reading this. Maybe. So Timothy's thinking, he's a shy. Surely Paul's got someone else to write to. And when we receive a challenge by the Lord, I know some people who, like Timothy, have got to a point in their lives where the challenge has been so great that they've walked away. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside, salvation is that miracle of the moment, instant, wonderful. But then he changes us. And that process of changing, sanctification, if that's what you want to call that, for today. That process is a miracle of a lifetime. And there are going to be times, if we give the Holy Spirit free rein, where he's going to point at things that we don't want him to point at. And we can sometimes have choices to back right off and stay in the rows and maybe under the radar. And Timothy's got a choice here. Maybe he could abandon his faith altogether. After all, everyone in the province of Asia has done the same, Paul says. Professing believers abandon Paul. And so here at the end of chapter 1, Paul gives Timothy an example of what grasping the gospel and the cost might look like, or not. Or not. Here's one we prepared earlier, Timothy. This is what loyalty and disloyalty to the gospel looks like. I'm challenging you, Timothy, and as the word is preserved down the centuries, it's challenged my heart this week. Am I a fair weather Christian? Am I? Really did bat me on the head. You can't see the mark, but honestly, it really has to challenge me first. If this doesn't move my soul, I cannot stand here. And I wouldn't anyway. You see, because whatever theology or theories or teaching we receive, it has to be displayed. It'll come out in our lived lives. In some ways, good soil. Remember Jesus, Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. And the seed is the word of God, and the farmer sows the seed on four types of soil. And it starts on the path, and then what was the next one? Rocky ground, thanks Chris, and then it was the weeds, Chris is on the roll, and then the final one, good soil, I want to be there. You see, when the Spirit of God comes and challenges us, when the challenge comes, good soil starts to produce shoots. And sometimes we have to have the most terrible weather for shoots to start coming up. In gardening terms. I mean, Beth will get that. If we didn't have terrible weather, I don't know what the allotment would look like. If it was just all beaming sunshine all year, what would that look like, Beth? Awful. Drought. Some of the shoots and some of those beautiful things come when it's been terrible weather. And the good soil shoots will, even tiny shoots, will start to come. Start to transform. It's important for us. And what worries me is that it's not a statistical parable, but in the parable of the sower, only one in four make it. Here, in our text, only one in three. That's if you don't include the everyone, so I guess it's one in a lot more than that. And we were challenged a couple of weeks ago as I move into this text that what kind of soil are we? And Paul mentions three responses here, three people by name. There are others, Phygelus, Hermogenes, and Onesiphorus. You see, all three of these people, Phygelus, Hermogenes, and Onesiphorus, have received the seed. They've all received the word of God. Now, do you remember which soil was the one that struggled when persecution came? Remember? I don't want to look at Chris anymore because there's some more people who know it, but I will go to him if none of you get it. What was it? It was the one that fell on rocky ground. So absolutely right. It fell on rocky ground. So what happened? When persecution came because of the word. See, it's the weeds one that because of life's worries. The one that's sown amongst the thorns and that sort of thing is when life's worries. But Jesus specifically said when persecution came because of the word, near us time, you could say that, couldn't you? Then it withered and went. So I've entitled today Loyalty and Disloyalty. And it's not so you go away thinking, well, that's me, I've had it. I pray that every week that the Holy Spirit challenges me to say, Lord, I need your help. And I'm going to pray at the end. Say, Holy Spirit, come and help me to be a loyal servant of yours to know what matters. Because our displayed responses to the word of God say a lot about us. They say a lot about really where our root is. I don't want to say this is easy to be a Christian in this environment. It's all about perspective, and this is our context, so we might not appreciate. But I guess if we saw a wider context with the persecuted church, we might conclude this is easier to be a Christian. And it worries me that we can maybe drift because we haven't signed up for what we really thought we were signing up for. We thought it was just salvation. It's very interesting. You see, I think the visible church, which this is, and I'm not talking, when I say church, can I say I'm not talking about Bethel, I'm talking global now, it's full of people who've answered the wrong question. That's a dangerous thing to say. You see, in research, if you ask the wrong question, guess what? You get the wrong answer. If you do research, you know that. And the wrong question is, do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? No. Of course I don't. If I answer that question alone, I might be sat here thinking with some kind of small print I missed when it gets tough. And Jesus said, whoever comes after me will be persecuted. Maybe we've been given a single strand gospel. Maybe you need a new life. Jesus can change your life. I very rarely look at God channels. I happened to actually be channel flick the other evening. I had a spare 5 minutes. No, Leslie and I had a couple of hours, which was nice, together. And there was a channel with two female speakers on. One was amazing. This kind of stuff. The other not so. I'm not going to name anything. It's not great to do that. And one was talking about, how about not making it about you all the time? It was lovely. It was a real disciple making. And the other one, it was all about them. If your life's rubbish, just keep imagining that your life's going to be great. That's not a gospel. And it's all over the TV. And even in cities that we know and love. And you see, somehow, as God's visible church, many people have reduced the cost of following Christ to small print. So what happens is disciple making, becoming a disciple of Jesus and not someone who's saved, becoming a disciple of Jesus who sacrifices things, who denies themselves, picks up their cross and follows Christ, becomes an optional thing, or at best becomes something that we do in the church program that we can opt in or out of. It's true. When Jesus' command was in the imperative for all of his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. Do we have a discipleship program? I hope so, because I can opt out of a program. This isn't a program. This is a DNA. So you're going to get so fed up with me, it's going to be unbelievable. It's interesting. You see, when a child is born, biologically, it has the DNA of its earthly parent. But we preach being born again in the Spirit of God, yet deny the DNA of disciple-making in our lives. It's something that makes me uncomfortable. Because more often than not, being a disciple of Jesus means I have to give up what I want. Not everything. And he's going to challenge me. And there's a kind of mathematical formula. I'm not good at maths, by the way. I'm better at English. Which goes something like, grace equals no cost equals no commitment. You might not like that formula. I like the first part of that formula, by the way. But the second part is wrong. You are no longer your own. You have been bought at a price, says Paul. Paul says, I am a bond servant, someone who's volunteered to stay on as a slave to Christ. He is my master I'm happy with and will show my allegiance to all my life because he bought me originally. Hallelujah. This is tough stuff. Another me number. I mentioned it last week. You need to look online if you want. When I joined the military, 17, I knew the risk of combat. When I joined, there hadn't been a difficult thing for the British military for 20 years. So there were people who I was with on my first ship who had never seen combat. Within 3 months of joining my first ship, I was in combat at 18 years old, and then in the Gulf in 21 years old. There were people who'd been in the military 21 years who said, I didn't join for this. I joined to see the world. Yes, they did, and they did. And they were crying because they hadn't joined to do this. Yes, they had. Would we feel great if all our military were out there saying, do you know what? I think it's different between hoping that we're not in the combat and saying, but this is what I'm trained to do. So people, when I was 7, were saying, great, I just signed up to travel the world. And the military says, yeah, you can travel the world, but just while you're doing it, people might be trying to kill you. Now some people left because as soon as they got that, and I remember after the first kind of brief and it was all difficult, they would come and go along the row and say, do you still want to do this? Do you still want to do this? And people went and said, I can't do this anymore. And I get that in the context of that, by the way, it's horrific. But in the context of Jesus, there is no option. We've said it before, people looking at baptism at the moment. When I'm baptized, when I stand and say Jesus is Lord, in Nero's time, he's not happy. I can say it now. It's easy. Jesus is Lord. I can stick my head out of that door and say, hey, you across the road, Jesus is Lord. And they say, oh, you nutcase. The Roman soldiers would take me away and say, no, Caesar is Lord. So Paul to the Corinthians can say, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless by the Holy Spirit. No one can stand up in a minority and risk being murdered and say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit says, yeah. See, the context matters. And if I'm honest, this is a bit gloomy, isn't it? This is about a reality check. It's not gloomy, stay in. I think the church in the West is in great danger of producing surface level believers who want the blessing but not the cost. And I'm worried. I'm very worried about the state of the church in the West. Where are the believers who might model what it means, whatever the cost, in their lives to people at work who don't know what following Jesus means? Who can see it in you through trial and tragedy. That speaks volumes. And it worries me because we can sit here and stand here. And we all have the uniform on. But maybe some people might just say, I never really signed up for this. If you're not a believer today, in some ways, can I say good? I may have caught you just in time. Because following Jesus is one of the most challenging, hardest things you could ever get into. The Holy Spirit comes and lives and empowers in you, and you might not understand any of that language, but the Holy Spirit comes and will empower you, but it is tough following Christ. If we do it right, if we stand for his ways, in a society where everything goes, where family values, where marriage values, where everything is out of the window. We need to stand as God's people on his word. And that takes courage. And they're not the only two things. There are many things. But But as we come to Christ, and if you've not before, could I plead with you, please take the salvation and that there is at the cross. That is free, all of grace. But know this, that you are no longer your own when you accept the sacrifice of Christ. When you repent of your old life, that very word means you turn around and you follow your new boss. And there's no defecting. They come together. Jesus is my Savior, I can say today, and he's my commanding officer. Paul uses the language, we'll do it later on, in chapter 2. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, so I'm not overdoing this. Rather, tries to please his commanding officer. So Paul says in chapter 2, no one gets too bogged down, too attached to into this life, the now stuff. Whatever their context, they know who their new boss is. Do you? Do you and I? Do I really know who my new boss is? And so, I just want to bring this down. Because here's one we prepared earlier, Timothy, says Paul. It's about loyalty to your new boss. And Timothy, you're going to be in a bit of shock at this time. I've told you to stand and fan into flame by the power of the Spirit of God. And Timothy's reading this and he's swallowing this, or he's listening to this being read to him even. And Paul talks about disloyalty on the front line to him first. We see this. You know, verse 15, that everyone, so this isn't a numbers game, by the way. I have no interest in doubling the amount of people who don't want Jesus as their commanding officer. This isn't a numbers game. It drives me mad when churches talk about doubling the size of their congregations. That'll happen if we create true disciples who then create true disciples who come and sit here and say, I want to be equipped and fan into flame my gift. I could get very excited about that. Everyone, you see, most people, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygelus and Hermogenes. They get special mention. Maybe they were the ringleaders. We don't know. Jesus said in Matthew 13, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who heard the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, absolutely dead on, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, because they're standing up, because of who they are, their identity, they quickly fall away. We could have a bigger discussion whether this is a salvation issue. God is gracious. But I think there are a lot of nominal believers. And that's God's job to let us in and out. And we can trust the cross. So let's not go there. It's not a salvation issue. But I want a fulfilling life in Christ. And I only get that by following his commands for my life. The rocky ground, you see, says Paul to Timothy, of Phygelus and Hermogenes was shallow, you see. Had no root, was easily scorched. I mean, let's face it, I'm not criticizing these guys. Wouldn't we be? If we had a gun at our head now and all we had to do was simply sign a bit of paper or say, no, Jesus, I was joking all along. Stay here another 20 years with my family. Isn't that just easy? Doesn't Jesus understand? We're just frail. Maybe. But when the Spirit of God equips, you see, some of the stories in church history of those who were murdered, martyred for loving Jesus, who refused, who would put their hands in the flames, readily, who originally signed a denunciation and then quickly felt the conviction of the Spirit, so put the hand that signed the document in the flame first. Oh dear, I don't get this stuff, you know. I don't get this stuff. But it's here in God's word. I cannot give you gospel light. You might feel you'd be in better shape afterwards, but you won't. Paul had said to the Ephesian church, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. And all these guys were in the Ephesian, all Asia. All these people, everyone that Paul had said this to, written this to, were in that church he wrote this to. Fallen away. Set back. Pushed, distance themselves between themselves and Paul. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, against the spiritual, but against the spiritual forces of evil. So put on the full armor of God, Hermogenes. Yes, great word, Paul. Imagine. Great word, Paul. Full armor. Got it. I might even do a kids talk with some kind of bits about it all, so everyone gets it. Getting it is when it hits my soul and it breaks my heart. That's getting it. Getting it is not knowing it. It's living it and just feeling it so it bursts you and shocks you. So I go, my word, Lord, that sort of commitment, I just thought you were in it for me. I said this probably 20, 30 times in the last 9 years. I don't know when we will get to the point, maybe it'll be an individual thing, it won't be as a church, so to speak, when we realize that we are in a battleground and not a playground. It might just be as we throw ourselves on Christ when everything else fails. Everyone in the province has deserted me, including these two who were the ringleaders. I thought I trusted them. Sometimes it's just got to be you and God. And what God does, you've got people in your life or you've had people in your life you depended on. He strips them away and says, no, it's about you and me. I am your boss. I am all you need. And that's really hard. Really hard. You know, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. But not quite everyone, Timothy. There's good soil. Not quite everyone, Timothy. Because you see, loyalty when it matters. And I'll just whisk through this. Verse 16. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Whatever you think of his name, what a good lad he was. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Because he often refreshed me. Was not ashamed in the culture of honor and shame. Was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, opposite of everybody else, when he was in Rome, he was in the heartbeat of the enemy's territory, in the very, very hot heat of the fire. When he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. The day he's going to come back. The day of Matthew 25. You know very well in how many ways, I can't even list them, he helped me in Ephesus. I want to be an Onesiphorus that says, I don't care. I know whom I believed. I know who my boss is. Even when it's tough, I'm just going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. Even when my health goes, even when everything goes, when those who I thought loved me to go, when everyone I thought was loyal to me goes, I want to be an Onesiphorus. This, you see these little things, don't you, on social media? This is Onesiphorus. He didn't leave Paul when it got tough. Be like Onesiphorus. So what was he like? He was consistent. He often, Paul says, refreshed me. Verse 16. He often refreshed me. He risked it time and time and time and time and time again. He didn't sneak in and then he didn't drone it in. Paul's like, help. Often refreshed Paul. Dangerous. He was loyal. Onesiphorus was not ashamed of my chains. He was loyal. He worked hard. He searched hard for me. He didn't go, oh, well, I had a go at that once. It didn't quite work. You know, the real dedicated stuff following Christ. I got my hand bit a bit, so I'm just going to stay in the safe zone. He was persistent. He searched hard for me until he found me. I like Onesiphorus. I want to be like Onesiphorus. Being a Christ follower, taking that characteristic out of the sunshine, out of the salvation which we praise and worship God for. Being a Christ follower takes consistent, loyal, persistent, hard work. Because we can all be loyal in the sunshine. I think I've got a statement on the next one that I think I might have. I'm not sure. That might be the last one. Okay, don't worry. Can I just read that again to you then? Being a Christ follower takes consistent, loyal, persistent, hard work. I don't want to be a sunshine Christian. I don't know about you. I want that loyalty. But what about when things, as I conclude this, what about when things don't swing our way? When it's inconvenient to help that brother or sister? When serving or giving stretches our finances? When following Christ means uncertainty? When following Christ means leaving loved ones behind? I remember when we came to this place 9 years ago, my wife cried for the first 67 miles of our journey. I clocked it. Chocolate came in on mile 68 and the smile came back a little bit. But there was deep, long-standing. I miss family every day. But it's about where He wants us. What is it, Lord? What about when following Christ means persecution of the deepest kind? Oh, yes. And I just wonder, when all of us look back over our lives, which we will one day, maybe including, I pray, many years being a believer, someone who's saved, who's trusted the cross, the grace of Christ, free but not cheap. What will be our legacy that we passed on? What will be our legacy of receiving and practicing and sharing? Maybe in some small way it's not about us, but who will it be? Paul could look at Timothy and Titus and others, but who is it we might be able to just look at for a few moments and feel in some small way we contributed, we encouraged them to stand strong in Christ, to reach their potential, to know and appreciate the cost of following Jesus? And all of you who love sharing Jesus, could I say, please keep sharing Jesus? But could I ask that people don't run away unaware of the cost? Don't make it so gloomy that it's scary, but it's got to be realistic. The first day of military recruitment, they showed us the worst videos in the world. But it was the reality of what we might face. We haven't had this for 20 years, I remember them saying in my first 2 weeks. If they'd have said to me when I got through that door, within your first 4 years, you'll have been in two combat situations before the age of 21, I'd have ran home. But I knew the reality, and I needed the grace of God in each one of those situations as a young believer I was at the time. And God was amazing. And was able to use me in ways that I can't imagine, because I'm frail and I fail and I'm a sinner. To able to speak into the hearts and lives of grown men who were crying, holding pictures of their family and friends because they hadn't been told the cost. It might be that we could encourage each other today to say, this is hard, isn't it? Following our commanding officer. But He has done so much for us. His love compels me, says Paul. So, Timothy, as Paul signs off chapter 1, wouldn't have been a chapter. When all the talking is done, all the letter writing stops, this is what it looks like, Timothy. This is what loyalty and disloyalty look like. No wonder next week when Josh stands up here, Paul needs to start his next sentence, "So you then, Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come and help us be the people we ought to be? Would you come and help us be the people we are called to be? to take you seriously at your word, Lord, to commit and not count the cost, to know with certainty that your ways are above my ways, to count everything else as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing and following Christ Jesus as my Lord. Help me to see what matters the most. And give me the power and the ability and the grace and every good gift I need in a world that hates you to keep on keeping on for Jesus. For we know that as we stand before you on that day with that crown for all those who long for his appearing, Lord, I long to hear those words from you, the only one I serve. Well done, good and faithful servant. Help me, please, Spirit of God, to give honour to your name each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our music group are going to come. And leaders, if you've been challenged, there's a particular challenge that's knocking you off kilter in your walk with Jesus, please don't leave here. Maybe you've been knocked for six about something. Please pray. Please talk. We're family here. It matters. This is the place we can encourage one another. God bless you.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.